When Paul is on Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17, this guy is bold. There are so many lessons to be learned from Paul, and you're going to learn them today. By the way, that's my car. That's where I broadcast from, right there. That's the alley. This is the alley. It's a grass alley, as you can see. We have some fancy things like that in Florida. This is the cottage behind me there. That's where we rent. And there is my laundry room, back there, back there. That's the laundry room door. First of all, the boldness of Paul. Mars Hill was its day's equivalent of Oprah. It was a talk show. People went there to hear the latest thing. They had acts, pretty much. Yeah, acts in the book of Acts. Like, who's next? And people lined up. It was like a stand-up night at the comedy club. People took their turns making fools of themselves on Mars Hill. The people were very wise in their own estimation, but they were actually probably stupid idiots. They thought they were smarter than anybody, but they weren't. And yet, it's intimidating, isn't it? Let's go for a little walk. It's intimidating to talk to people who you know are looking at you like you're a big idiot. I want you to recognize and appreciate Paul's boldness. Well, we know that this is what he was called to do. And he was not afraid to get up in front of a bunch of intellectuals and teach. Now, the first thing he does is insult them, which is not, it's a nice way to start your show. It's the Paul show in Athens. He says, I notice that you are very religious. I look on all sides and I see statues to every god under the sun. And even you have one, in case you missed any, you have one to the unknown god. Well, that one that you worship ignorantly, I declared to you. By this time, they're looking at each other. And one of them actually says this. One of them says, what would this rook have to say? A rook. It was an insult. It's Acts 17:18 in the New American Standard Bible. They called him an idle babbler. In fact, I had a newsletter in the early 90s called the Idle Babbler Illustrated, because I liked that. What would this idle babbler wish to say? Now, Luke was with Paul, and he overheard them talking about the next act, Paul, and Luke overheard them say that, and that's why it's recorded, because Luke is the author of Acts, of course. And so, imagine that guy. He's in the Bible now just because he insulted Paul, and he happened to do it within earshot of Luke. I think that's pretty fascinating. So anyway, there's Paul. And here's the way of evangelism. And this is very rough, because God doesn't put an arrow, you know, a little icon arrow, you know, those little arrows that you use with your mouse. God doesn't put little arrows on top of people's heads that we're supposed to talk to. Like, this one's chosen, and this one is chosen. Because we don't know who's chosen. So, instead we have to broadcast it. That's an agricultural term. When you take your seed and you just throw it down, you just spread it out, it's called broadcasting. And that's what people on the radio do, that's what Paul did. He just threw his seed down and saw and waited to see what was going to happen with it. And the thing with Paul is, it would be nice if God told us ahead of time who would believe and who wouldn't. That way we wouldn't have to take any chances. We wouldn't risk ourselves. We wouldn't risk our pride. We wouldn't risk humiliation. We wouldn't risk failure. But instead, we have to broadcast it. We have to just put it out there and see what God will do with it. And that's exactly what Paul did. Clyde pointed this out to me, and this is so true. Paul never quotes one scripture to them. Paul doesn't quote one scripture to them, no. He becomes as a Jew to the Jew and as a Greek to the Greeks. Instead, he quotes one of their poets. Yeah, he quotes one of their poets. And they're going, ooh, that's one of our poets. And it was probably impressive because Paul spoke to them in their language. the equivalent of that today would be like, if you're able to quote from Seinfeld, people are impressed. And so it is kind of helpful to have a little bit of a basic understanding of the world of politics, of popular culture, so that we can talk to people. Of course, I'm not suggesting saturating yourself with it. In fact, you know me, I just suggest the exact opposite. But Paul tailored his talks to his audience. Brilliant guy, this Paul. I still got the dreaded bronchitis. So, Paul told these guys something that was very unusual to tell a bunch of heathen. He tells them that this proves to me that this truth is readily graspable and it should be heralded to from two-year-olds to Epicurean and Stoic philosophers on Mars Hill in Athens. And that's the truth of the sovereignty of God. Paul says that in him we live and move and are. We live. That's where that famous verse comes from. Paul on the Oprah show in Athens. In him we live and move and are. God's got everything covered. We live, we move, and we are. He gives to all, Paul says in another place, life and breath and all. I use those verses more to teach the sovereignty of God than any other verses. Once I realized how great those verses were. And it's even more remarkable when you think Paul is saying these things to heathen philosophers. In him we live and move and have our being. He gives to all life and breath and all. This comes from the book of Acts. Paul at Mars Hill in Athens. A remarkable address. He doesn't quote one scripture. He's winging it. Paul is winging it. In the meantime, off stage here, they got the vaudeville cane. He could be yanked off at any time. And like I said, he doesn't know who's going to accept him and who's going to reject him. And as a point, to point that out to you, if you know what happens, you remember at the end of that passage, it says, as soon as Paul mentioned the resurrection of the dead, ooh, that's when the booing start. People started throwing popcorn and tomatoes, and they got the vaudeville cane out. Paul started talking about the resurrection of the dead, and these jeered. Some jeered, others said, we'll hear from this guy some other day, send him on his way. But a few people followed Paul, but they didn't do it publicly. They came to Paul after his address, after he had stepped down, and probably thought he was a total failure. He had to broadcast it, had to make a fool of himself, had to take the tomatoes, take the popcorn, because he didn't know who God had chosen. That's what I was saying before. You just don't know, you put it out there. So that's how you find out. You put it out, Paul says, well, that was a bomb. And then Luke says to him, no, actually, a couple people approached me. And one of them was a woman named Damaris, and there's a couple other names there at the end of Acts, the people who followed Paul after this. And they became members of the body of Christ because they were there at that epic, meeting, the Oprah show of its day, namely Mars Hill. And let this be a lesson to us. How, Martin? How should this be a lesson to us? Well, number one, God doesn't put arrows on people's heads. He doesn't put little icons where you can tell who you should talk to and who you shouldn't talk to. It'd be very handy if he did, but he doesn't. Two, you have to talk to people. There's the old car. Huh? I like that car. You have to talk to people in their language, whether you're quoting Seinfeld, quoting from a popular movie. I quote from The Wizard of Oz all the time. You know, people like that. I can't help it. I just do it anyway. I mean, I don't do it because people like it. I just do it, you know. So, and it's a boldness. It's a boldness just to take a chance. Go out there and see what's going to happen. And here's another thing. Don't hesitate to declare the sovereignty of God. These people were like, when I compared them, when I had said there was a scale, there's like two-year-olds over here and Epicurean and Stoic philosophers over on the other end, both companies have about equal intellectual capacity. It's like they're so primitive. The two-year-old's primitive on one end, and the Epicurean Stoic philosopher is primitive on another end, thinks he's all that. In fact, I say the kid is better off. Don't hesitate to give the truth of that in him we live and move and are, and God gives to all life and breath and all. These are truths that can be put out to anyone. Teach your kids this truth as soon as they turn two. Give it to them as soon as they turn two. And if you have any Epicurean and Stoic philosopher friends, God help you, let them know of this too. But be ready for the popcorn. No, not to eat it, to have it thrown at you.